Hello, my name is Massimo. I have the pleasure of reading the sermon reading today. Before I read today's sermon, I'd like to share something that I found helpful to remember before each Proverbs reading, and that is to keep in mind the purpose and theme of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse 1 and 2 tells us, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight." This section ends with Proverbs 1 to 7, which I love in its simplicity. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now for today's sermon readings. Proverbs 11:1, "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favour with him." Proverbs 14:31, "Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God." Proverbs 17:15, "Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both." Proverbs 21:3, "To what is right and just, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Proverbs 29:7, "The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern."
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Murray, and I'm the Youth and Young Adults Minister here at Shell Harbour City Anglican Church. And it is great to be here this morning to share from God's Word. What a privilege it is to be up here on this very special Sunday morning. This morning is special for a few reasons. First of all, because every Sunday, as we gather together as God's people to learn from His Word, is a wonderful joy. But today falls at a particularly joyful time of year, doesn't it? As we look forward to celebrating the birth of our Saviour Jesus tomorrow. But as well as that, today's also special for me personally, because it just so happens to be my birthday. So thank you very much, everyone. And thank you very much, John, for rostering me on to preach on my birthday. Where's the justice in that, you might ask? But the joke's on John, because as we continue our series in Proverbs, I just so happen to be preaching on the topic of justice. So I guess John will just have to wait to see where I get on the topic of just the justice of rostering someone on to preach on their birthday. But let me pray as we get into it. That might help calm my anger or maybe my nerves. Heavenly Father, help us as we consider the topic of justice this morning to understand your word and to understand your character, and help us to be people who act justly in response. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you're all very excited about tomorrow morning. I'm certainly looking forward to gathering around the Christmas tree with my children in the early hours of the morning as we open presents together. And then after we come here for church, we'll head up to Sydney to meet with extended family to enjoy a wonderful Christmas meal. It promises to be a great day. But amidst all of that joy, I anticipate that at some point tomorrow, I'm going to hear those dreaded words, "It's not fair." Whether it's because the kids still have to go to bed at some point, or because somebody else has a bigger present to unwrap, or because one of those especially sturdy and well-built hats has accidentally ripped. At Christmas lunches and dinners all over the globe, for many different reasons, the words, "It's not fair," will ring out. And this doesn't only happen at Christmas, does it? It's heard every day of the year for many different reasons. It's not fair. See, us humans are drawn to seek justice. We long for a right and fair and equitable society. And our justice system shows the high value of just punishments and decisions. A number of years ago, I had my turn of doing jury duty. It was a relatively long case. It went for about 6 weeks. And so for 6 weeks, I missed work, but was paid by the government to play my part in the judicial system. For 6 weeks, we listened to evidence and heard testimony from people involved in the case. And at the end of those 6 weeks, myself and the other 11 jurors gave our verdict. In that case, we found the defendant guilty. After 6 weeks, we contributed one word. But we were called to perform that task because justice matters. Whether it's making sure that we get our fair share of the Christmas pudding, or ensuring that crime is punished justly, or providing a safe and equitable society for all people, the subject of justice is important. And so this morning, as we continue our series in the book of Proverbs, we're going to see that God is the God of justice. Before we explore the question, where is the God of justice? And consider our call to live justly in God's world. It's been so good to spend time in the book of Proverbs lately and to think about how we live wisely in God's world. And right from the very first lines of the book, we see the importance of this topic of justice. In those very first verses, we read that the purpose of these words of Proverbs is for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behaviour, doing what is right and just and fair. So one of the goals of the book of Proverbs is that its readers will do what is right and just and fair. And this is the aim for the people of Israel, because this is what their God is like. All throughout the Old Testament, God is seen as the God of justice. Look at how Moses speaks of him as he sings of his character at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. This is how God is consistently described in the Old Testament. He is the God of justice. And that's seen through Proverbs as well. As Lady Wisdom speaks in chapter 8, she calls out, "All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse." And scattered throughout the middle chapters are reminders of God's character as a God who detests unjust weights and dishonest scales, which it seems must have been a common method of injustice at that time. So throughout Proverbs, as well as all through the Bible, God is shown to be the God of justice, which explains why we, as humans made in his image, have this deep longing for justice, have this innate sense of what is right and wrong. It's why that cry of "it's not fair" rings out so frequently. But if God is the God of justice, if we, as those made in his image, long for justice, then why do we face so much injustice? Both in minor and major ways, on both personal and societal fronts, we're consistently confronted with injustice. So where is the God of justice? For the rest of our time this morning, we're going to think about that question and look at four different and all true ways of answering it. And our first response to the question of where is the God of justice is to say that he allows us freedom to reject his just ways. If our doctrine of humanity shows why we have this desire for justice, our doctrine of sin shows why there exists so much injustice in the world, and it explains why our desire for justice is so distorted and self-centered. See, ever since Adam and Eve, we as humans are not only made in God's image, but are born in the image of sinful humanity, who choose our own way rather than God's way. In the very most simple sense, humanity's sin is the reason for the injustices of our world. But there's so much more to say than that, isn't there? Because despite our sin leaving this world in a state of brokenness and injustice, the God of justice is still present. He is still sovereign. So our second answer to the question, where is the God of justice, is to give the reminder that he will judge justly. Imagine a thief running through a bank with handfuls of stolen cash on his way down to the armed guards who are standing at the door. He hasn't really gotten away with anything, has he? Even though he holds that cash, he will be caught. And Proverbs reminds us that even injustice that seems to go unpunished immediately, in God's timeline, is just like that. God will judge. Proverbs says things like, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." reminding us that all of our ways will be found out. Or again, food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but one ends up with a mouth full of gravel. Even though the wicked may seem to get away with injustice, there will be a day when they face the consequences of their actions. So do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. We do well to remember that God will bring justice, to live with this bigger picture view of our lives and our eternities in mind, because the God of justice will judge. So there is no gain in wickedness, no benefit to injustice. So injustice exists because of our sin, and it will be put right as God brings just judgment. But rather than merely waiting for God to bring justice at the end of the age, God calls for us as his people to be those who act justly and help to bring justice, to do what is right and just and fair. This theme question, where is the God of justice, has been asked many times before by God's people. In fact, this same question is found in the book of Malachi as a question that the Israelites had asked so much that it had wearied the Lord. See, in that circumstance, God's people had been oppressed and had been crying out for God to act, to do something. They were frustrated that God wasn't acting to ease their pain, to relieve the real injustices that they were facing. But God turns their question back on them, accusing his people of failing to live justly. He rebukes them for being unfaithful to their God, for presenting defiled offerings. And he rebukes them for showing partiality in matters of the law and for oppressing widows and orphans and foreigners. These people thought that they could buy God with their sacrifices and continue to live however suited them in between their religious duties. But as Proverbs tells us, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. We cannot just throw our hands up complaining that it's not fair. God calls us to be people who act to bring fairness, to bring justice and equality. And in Proverbs, the majority of verses around this theme of justice are about how we are to be people who act justly for the sake of others, because that's how we act like God. Throughout the Old Testament, God's justice is shown in how his people are to treat, in particular, the poor, the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. These are seen as the disadvantaged in society, as the ones with the most reason to cry out, "It's not fair." And so God's people are to have particular compassion on these people groups. And that's not an easy task. In Proverbs, the picture of the righteous is of a person who's willing to disadvantage themselves to advantage the community. But the picture of the wicked is of someone who is willing to disadvantage the community to advantage themselves. Proverbs 29, verse 7. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. And this desire for justice includes practical efforts. 28:27. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. But it also goes further than that. It includes more. From Proverbs 31, we're told to speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. We are called to be a people who not only perform good deeds, but who take up the cause of the fatherless and the widow. And in our society, we could well add many other people groups. We are to support and take up the cause of the unborn, of Aboriginal Australians, of the elderly, of the disabled and disadvantaged. We should consider these people not only when they happen to cross our paths, but also as we set our yearly budgets, as we vote in elections. These people, these disadvantaged, are to shape that the way that we function in all that we do, and they're to shape the way that we function as a church as well. That's why one of our four core values as a church here at Shell Harbour City is supporting others. We want to be a people who seek justice for the oppressed. And we do this to honour the God in whose image these vulnerable people have been made. Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God. So where is the God of justice? Well, he calls us as his people to act justly, and he should be seen as his people enact justice in his world. Israel's role in the Old Testament and ours as the church today is to create a culture of justice for the poor and vulnerable, because that reveals God's character and glory to the world. This is why God can say that if we dishonor the poor, we insult him, and if we're generous to the poor, we honor him. If we as believers in God don't honour the cries and claims of the poor and oppressed, then we're not honouring God. We're hiding his beauty from the eyes of the world. In contrast, when we do act justly and seek the good of the vulnerable, that gets the world's notice. Back in the very first centuries after Jesus, Christianity flourished as a result of Christian charity and justice work. The Roman Emperor Julian despised the Christian faith, but was forced to admit that Christianity was constantly growing because of believers' generosity to the poor, because that made it so attractive. He said, "Nothing has contributed to the progress of the superstition of the Christians as their charity to strangers. The impious Galileans, the Christians, provide not only for their own poor, but for ours as well." I see that as why we do things like Toys and Tucker, where we support families in need to allow them to enjoy some special things at Christmas. And it's been great to hear some stories from some of the people who saw this act of generosity and have been prompted to consider coming along to church. We are to do these acts of justice. Now, sometimes evangelical Christians have been skeptical about social justice causes. And sometimes, I think, with good reason. We don't want to let our concern for social justice distract us from our concern to share the gospel. But if we're trying to live in accordance with the justice of Proverbs, this concept and call to justice is inescapable. Sure, we won't be able to rid the world of injustice. That won't happen until Jesus returns and brings an end to all sin and injustice. But with our time and our money and our efforts, we are called to honour God by simply doing what we can for the oppressed around us. And this will include a broad range of activities, from simple fair and honest dealings with the people in our daily life, to radical, generous giving of our time and resources, to activism that seeks to end particular forms of injustice, violence, and oppression. It'll involve things from shopping ethically to ensure that workers are receiving fair wages. It'll include spending time with the elderly or the sick in our community. It will include considering those who are vulnerable and oppressed as we seek to vote and thinking about what is best for them. These aren't life-changing actions, but just like the model woman of wisdom from Proverbs 31, they are our way of opening our arms to the poor and extending our hand to the needy. See, God is a God of justice, and he calls us to live to his perfect standard of justice, to love all those created in his image, to defend the cause of the fatherless and the widow, to support the needs of the poor and the foreigner. But as I consider that call to be someone who acts justly, first of all, I feel quite lost and hopeless. I just don't know what to do. And then even more than that, I feel guilty. I certainly don't always speak up for the vulnerable or oppressed. I find it really hard to think well about just how to do these things. And more than that, even when I know what I should do, I find it hard to do them. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9 says, "Who can say, I have kept my heart pure? I am clean and without sin." It's certainly not me. So as we think about justice, we see that we're in trouble. We are guilty of failing to love the widow and the orphan, the poor and the foreigner, as God would have us. And my guilt and my sin puts me in danger of justice. Proverbs 21:15. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. I am guilty, and so God's justice should bring me terror. But that brings us to our last response to the question, where is the God of justice? And our final response is to say that the God of justice came into our world to face the just penalty that we deserve to offer us forgiveness. As we come to celebrate Christmas tomorrow, we remember that God, in his love for us, sent his son Jesus so that we can be justly acquitted, so that we can be justified, just as if we'd never sinned. The God of justice became human so that humans could justly be forgiven. From the book of Romans, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. See, God is the God of justice, but he's also the God of grace. And friends, by faith in Christ, we have been justified. We've been made right before the Lord Almighty, the just judge, who sees all of our sin, all of our acts of self-service that we disguise as justice, all of our complaints of it's not fair when we don't get what we want, all of our failures to act justly for the sake of others. He sees it all. But because of Jesus, our sinful hearts are forgiven. Our record of wrongs is paid for. The Almighty Judge looks at Jesus and sees his perfect life. And we are justified, just as if we'd never sinned. So, where is the God of justice? Well, first of all, he gives us freedom to sin, and so we still experience injustice. But he will judge, and we look forward to God righting all wrongs. But in the meantime, he calls us to act justly in all we do. But knowing that we fail at this, he came to provide just forgiveness for all who trust in him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God of justice, that all your ways are just and true. We are sorry that we reject your ways. Help us to trust your promises that one day all injustice will be made right. Help us until that day to seek justice for all people, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with you, God. Thank you that in your mercy you sent your Son. Thanks that we can celebrate that this Christmas and rejoice that you have provided for our just forgiveness through him. In Jesus' name, amen.